All right, welcome back, everybody, to our learning at Sha'arei. Of course, we didn't learn last week. It was Shavuos, so whenever we miss a week, even 1 week, it feels like a long time. But here we are back again. We are learning L'Iluy Nishmas and the Zecher Nishmas Merim Fron, Merim Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah HaHashal, Meher Neshama HaVen Aliyah, in the merit of our continued Torah. So we are on page 58 of the second Sefer, please. And we're continuing our discussion about Amunah, but not only about Amunah, not really discussion about Amunah, our learning, our internalizing, our working on fortifying our Amunah, but not only a discussion about Amunah, but not knowing Amunah only, but living Amunah. The Mechaber has been telling us that there's a difference between knowing something and actually internalizing it. So let's begin to top page 58 in this manner. We probably did the top page 58 four times. I don't know. Let's start the top page 58 again. In this manner, welcome. I saw your mother today. She's so cute. When I come in, she tries to shut the TV for me. When I was leaving, she wanted to know, am I leaving? My amplifier doesn't belong to the Nas for me. She said, Mamshat Sadeikas. It's very, very special. In this manner, you develop in a structured way the clear awareness. Nothing happens on its own. Then the question will naturally scream out, how did I get here? And further, how is there even an entity called I? So nothing happens on its own. And you know, it's so interesting talking about knowing Amuna and then actually living with Amuna. So one day this week, two things happened in a row that were frustrating. One of them I don't remember now, thank God I remember. The other was my son had a doctor's appointment with a certain doctor. I don't want to say any lashon hara, a certain doctor. And we went after school, and I had to leave the other children at home, and I sat in the waiting room for 1 hour and 5 minutes. And I asked three times in that 1 hour and 5 minutes, am I going to be seen too nicely? Finally, after an hour and 5 minutes, I said, how many people are in front of me? The whole time they were telling me one. Finally, they told me a whole bunch. I said, am I going to be here for another hour? She said, it's very possible. So I said, I need to reschedule. So even when I'm telling her, I'm feeling very upset. If I would have seen the doctor, so fine, I would have seen the doctor, but I didn't even see the doctor. I have to go back all over again. I said, when I come back, are there going to be five other people at the same time slot as me? She didn't say no. She said, just get here on time. So when I came in, I was very frustrated. So my daughter pipes up and she says to me, Mommy, Gamzula Tova. And of course she's right. She's not even 14 yet, can I in her? And I said, you're absolutely right, but I wasted so much time. So sometimes you could work and you could talk and you could know and it's all from Hashem. And then in the moment, Lamai says, so really, you shouldn't be so frustrated. That's the Metzias. That's the MS. That's what she said to me. Gamzula Tova. So I thought to myself, what kind of impression am I giving to my children if she's giving me the Musar? Okay, Baruch Hashem, at least she wasn't jumping on the frustrated bandwagon. But sometimes it's very hard to internalize the fact that mamash, nothing happens. Happens on its own, and you have to develop that in a structured way. And when we start to become aware of it, these are things that turn up in life all the time. It's only me and my doctor's appointment, okay? I'm sure that you have situations where you can relate. That just because you know something is from Hashem, in the moment, it doesn't mean you're not frustrated or aggravated about it. That frustration or aggravation means that there's some sort of disconnect. Because the ultimate level of knowing everything from Hashem is that I'm not. It's a very high level. But still, I want to quote from Rav Ali Melech Biderman. I was going to quote at the end, but it's right way now. Rav Meshulam Igra, Rav Biderman, says, Zecher Tzadik Livracha hardly ate matzah on Pesach because he was concerned that they may become chametz. He ate a minimal amount of matzah by the Seder to perform the mitzvos, but he wouldn't eat any more matzah through Pesach. Interesting. The matzos that he ate by the Seder were made with extreme caution. 1 year on Erev Pesach, his child was hungry. The maid did not know what to give him. There was no more chametz in the house. She gave the child the matzah that Rabbi Meshulam Igra baked so carefully for himself, his Seder matzah. When the Rebbetzin realized what happened, she was afraid. Her husband would be so upset. She was crying, and she said to her husband, the maid didn't realize it was your special matzah. She gave him to the child. I'm so sorry. What? Why are you crying? Aren't there other matzos in the house? So the Divrei Yoel of Samar Zatzal would repeat the story and express the wonderful level of Amunah of Meshulam Igra had attained. He knew it was from Hashem. He didn't even consider being upset or angry for giving away the matzah. Similarly, we strive to acquire Amunah till we know and feel everything that happens to us is from Hashem. So the truth is, it's a very high madriga. But really, if I was on a certain level, I really would not be frustrated. Because why? It's from Hashem. I'll give you an example. When we were leaving the program on Motzei Shavuos. So there was a lineup, we had to wait. So
my husband saw the Shiva of
Herschel Schachter waiting with his suitcase, and his Rebbetzin was talking to somebody. So my husband said to Rosh Shiva, could I help Rosh Shiva with the suitcase? Because on the way in, he helped with the suitcase. Rosh Shiva said, oh, you helped me with it on the way in. He said, no, it's okay, the Rebbetzin's talking. And I was looking at him. He was just standing there, so pasha, so patiently. He said, she's going to talk, just waiting for it to talk, not in a rush, not I have worldly matters on my head. Then my husband found him in the parking lot when my husband went to get the car, standing by the side of the road. The Rebbetzin doesn't remember where the car is, and he was just standing there. So really, if you could attain such a high level of amuna, I would have been texting my husband, and I would be so frustrated, why you know where the car is? It's 11 o'clock, and we have to get home, and tomorrow's work. Hashem wants me to do exactly this place. He wants me to wait for an hour, 5 minutes in the doctor's office. Why? I don't know. But I'm telling you about myself, that there was a disconnect in the moment. I was very aggravated. But really, it's not right. I'm lacking something. You must sit calmly. Look at that next word. Calm. For a minute or two. And contemplate and realize. Well, you're laughing at me?
Said, or an hour and five.
You must sit calmly for... I was very nice to the receptionist. I wasn't like screaming or going postal. I wasn't like Achil Hashem. But I'm saying that inside, I was not sitting calmly. And contemplate and realize this is a very serious question. The proof is many people have not arrived at the true answer. It's wonderful that we know the answer from tradition and from intellect. But from deep in heart, it's not totally clear. And this example that happened to me is very relevant. It just happened on, I believe, Monday evening. It's a true story. Absolutely true. So that means something deep in my heart is really lacking. In order for the heart to attain total clarity, you must take basic ideas and clarify them. Start with the simplest and most fundamental points that are apparently known in the minds of hearts at all, but deep down they're not really that clear. So we have to reiterate and keep in mind that sometimes there's a disconnect between what we know and the way that we act. So I want to share a story that happened with Rav Levi Yitzchak Aberditchev that I think illustrates the point of Amuna, that sometimes even though we are on a certain level or we think we're on a level of Amuna, there's often a disconnect. Any questions or comments? Yep. No? Okay. So this is from the Sefer of Levi Yitzchak Aberditchev, Thoughts and Stories on the Weekly Parsha. Okay. Bought at the Wayu Sfarim sale this year, so far very nice. On one of his travels through Hungary, Rav Levi Yitzchak stopped in a small town for a few days. Great rabbi. He kept it. His midah, by the way, is that he was always a defender of the Jews. He kept himself. He didn't tell anyone who he was, but the townspeople suspected there was a holy person in their midst. The day after he arrived, a man came to him. Shalom Aleichem, said the man. I'm the town butcher. I'm having a problem these days. Can you help me? What's the problem? Said Rav Levi Yitzchak. The regular shochet, who slaughters the meat, has been called away. Without his services, we can't provide kosher meat for people. You seem to be a Talmud Chacham. You must know the laws of Shechita. I was thinking, are you a certified shochet, kosher ritual slaughter? Is that how you translate it? Yeah, kosher ritual slaughter. So are you a shochet? Actually, I am, said Rav Levi Yitzchak. The butcher clapped his hand in delight. If you come with me now, you're doing us a great favor. I have a cow behind the shop. After you're done, I could have the meat for people within hours. So after you shech the cow, I could go sell the cow. I was just telling them at the Nautilus today, they love this because they could all relate to this, that my mother remembers when she was a little girl, the salting board, how far we've come from the cow in the backyard to the shelves in the grocery. My mother remembers the kashering board, the salting board, when she was growing up that her mother had in the basement. I was telling them about the Ringer washer. They could all relate. My father remembers the fish in the bathtub. They loved it. So how far we've come. Okay, but he had a cow in the backyard, and after you shech the cow, I'm going to go sell the cow. I'll pay you double what I usually pay the shochet, because it's a time of emergency. Rav Levi Yitzchak stood up. I will be happy to come with you, but I have a pressing matter I must discuss with you first. I need your help as well. What's the problem? I'm raising money for an important cause, said Rav Levi Yitzchak. That's why I'm traveling and hungry from Berditchev. However, I have not raised all the money I need. I would like to ask you for a loan of 10 silver rubles. As soon as I raise all the money, I'll repay you. You have my personal guarantee. I will repay you even if I fail to raise the rest of the money. So, your money's secure. Secure, said the butcher. I don't think so. Do I know you? Do I really know you? I never even laid eyes on you before you showed up here yesterday. You're a total stranger. You look like a holy person, but looks can be deceiving. Things aren't always as they seem. 10 silver rubles, too much money. I'm not lending it to a stranger. Really, said Rav Levi Yitzchak. Listen to yourself. You won't trust me with 10 rubles, because I'm not who I appear to be. But you trust me to slaughter, to shecht your cow, so you could provide kosher meat for the entire town. Did you ask for proof of my shechita certification? Did you test me in any way to make sure I'm baki? You're willing to feed questionable meat that perhaps is not kosher to your townspeople based on appearances. So the butcher put his head in his head in his hands. You're right. I did. It was terribly wrong. I learned my lesson. Thank you for helping me. Anyway, the people are hungry. Do you approve that you're a shochet? To which Rav Levi Yitzchak said, no, I don't. In fact, I'm not a shochet at all, but I was scandalized by your easy acceptance of my claim, so I decided to call the attention to the matter. So on one hand, here the shochet thinks he's so pious, and he finds the shochet, and the man looks like a fromier, but when it comes to ruchnias, he's willing to compromise a little too quickly. And when it comes to his gashmias, no problem. Who do you think I am to lend you 10 rubles? So too often, we have a disconnect between the different parts of ourselves in our Avodas Hashem. And that's a big struggle with Amuna, to make sure that they are not disjointed. Yeah.
But really, Yitzchak comforted Hashem. I'm not one to judge, I'm not, but he kind of said yes before.
Perhaps you're right, but perhaps to him, he realized what the man was. He felt that he was on a level that he could give a means, you have a positive biblical commandment to rebuke your fellow, and he felt that this was the way to be the most effective.
No, I'm saying before he even had the opportunity to say, oh, can I see your papers, can I see your credentials, really, he stuck up for Tisha said, yes.
But the man said, come with me to the back of the shed. I want to slaughter the cow so I could go sell it. I believe Yitzchak obviously felt it was a way to teach this person a lesson, not in a bad way, but seriously.
He started out saying something that wasn't truthful.
For the purpose of tochacha,
no,
yes.
No, wasn't a tochacha at that point.
Maybe he was wondering where it would come to, and then he would hold it back. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, I appreciate that.
But I think it's, you know, kind of, he said yes, and then, you know,
I mean, the story's very cute.
I think it's more than cute, first of all. I think it's very important. And second of all, was this the exact conversation between Levi Yitzchak and the butcher? I don't know the exact words, but the point is important and should be strongly taken. And also, someone on his level felt that this was a way to give tochacha.
Think about, unfortunately, your kids are young, but other people, you sometimes don't say the truth because, you know, you're doing something to protect your kid, to find out more. You pretend. Okay. So in this level, you know, he considers all of us, probably all of his kids, and so yes, you know, while
he stretched the truth.
It's a white lie, you know.
I think also the whole thing was about trust, and the way that someone loses trust is when there's a lie. So there's no way to
really. How did you say?
I'm saying it was about trust. That was the whole
very nice
lesson here, and you can't, the way that to test, when trust is tested, or I guess when trust is when trust is lost is when there's a lie.
Okay, so I need to say something important because of your comment. Thank you for commenting. So when we have discussions, we always want to see if something's based in the Torah, because the Chazal say then the Pergavus Perkei Hafochba Dekulaba. Turn the Torah over and over because everything's in it. But because you mamish used that word, it was an issue of trust, and the way that Rav Levi Yitzchak proved him that he was wrong by showing how easy it was to confuse him in his trust. So we'll go back to Bereishis and Toldos and the story where Rivka orchestrates the stealing or the trickery of the brachos, right? Yitzchak wants to hand the brachos to Esav because Esav is the Bechar and he loves Esav and he's a hunter. He asks his father, do we tithe straw or salt? He was just tricking his father, we don't tithe straw or salt. And Rivka orchestrates the trickery. And Yaakov comes in and steals the brachos. Yaakov is Ish Ames, and he even doesn't want to do it. He says to his father, he says to the mother, I'm going to be like a deceiver in father's eyes. He came, Ames Yaakov, how could I do this? She says, Alai kalalascha b'ni, I accept responsibility, ach shma b'koli, this is what you have to do. So Rav Sham Shafal Hirsch speaks about this. It's very interesting that you said that. He says, what was Rivka the tzadekis doing? Like, how are we supposed to understand this? Was she a deceiver? So she says she wanted to prove to Yitzchak how his whole life, the wool had been pulled over his eyes. By who? Esav. Yitzchak is Esav, ki tzayid b'fi, v'rivko haves es Yaakov. Yitzchak, the patriarch, loved Esav because trapping was in his mouth. On the level of Pshat, he hunted game for him. On the level of Drash, he trapped his father with his words. He tricked his father. His wife, Rivka, wanted to show how easy it was to trick him. And the only way she felt, she had to come to some drastic measures at the end of her life. It has not worked to bring his attention to the truth. The only way to do it was to twist the truth, so to speak, or to trick him to make him realize. But even doing his life. So you picked up on a very valid and very important point. And by the way, then we're told that Yitzchak saw Gehenim opened beneath him. So at that point, he realized that there was something very serious going on here, and he was tricked. And that's why when Esav comes in, he says, Gam hu yivarech, also he is blessed. So very nice. So we see by Rivka. So what was she doing? Was she not a Nevi'ah? Chazal tells us the Imams were prophetesses, and they were tzaddikesses. They were very righteous, upright, yashur, straight women. They're the mothers of Knesset Yisrael. So what was she doing to her husband? She wanted to show him how easy it was to trick him. So it was really a parallel in the story. Very nice. So you never know what comments are very important. You don't know where it's going to lead to. Anything else with that? But yes? Very nice. Beautiful. Okay. In order for the... You must say one clear fact to yourself. Nothing happens on its own. If there is a cabinet in this room, someone must have made the boards and prepared them for the cabinet. Someone must have built it. Someone must have brought it here. In the same sense, I must have been created. So nothing happens by himself. Nothing is built. And this reminded me of Kapitel Kuf Chaf Zayin in Tehillim, chapter 127. Is anybody familiar with chapter 127 in Tehillim?
Maybe when you say it.
Okay, very nice. I'm only familiar with it because there's a number of kapitlach I say every day. I'll be honest, this is one of them. Which is why this kapitel came to mind. What did you say, Abigail?
I think it's one of the Shir HaMalos, right?
Right, it's one of the Shir HaMalos.
What? Is it the one that's at the end of Kriya Shema?
Is it the one at the end of Kriya Shema?
Kriya Shema
Lamita.
I don't think so.
No. I say that.
So say it and we'll see what we
Could be, and I'm... No, that's Shir HaMasa Shrei Kol Yirei Hashem Haleich B'drachav. That's the next one. Very nice. So this is the only one that's L'Shlomo. It's the only one that's L'Shlomo. Shlomo built the David HaMelech San. Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash, the temple. Shir HaMalos L'Shlomo, a song of ascent to Shlomo. Im Hashem Lo Yivne Bayis Shav Amlu Bonav Bo. What does it mean? Im Hashem lo yivna bayis. If Hashem is not building your house, the builders who strive to build it are toiling in vain. Im Hashem lo yishmar ir. If Hashem does not guard a city, shav shakad shomer. The watchman has watched in vain. So really, it's so beautiful that David HaMelech is telling this to his son Shlomo. Why dafka to Shlomo?
Because he
thinks, you could not, I'm saying he thinks, one might think, after all these generations, I'm the one to build the Beis HaMikdash. It's going to come to fulfillment through my hands. I'm not saying Shlomo thought that, but a person could certainly think that. In fact, it relates very much to this week's parsha, because in Parsha Svaha Alozchor of Salvechik says when he reads this parsha, he wants to cry. He says, sometimes I want to cry. Because in the beginning of Baal Loscha, what do the people think? Where are they preparing to march? Straight into Eretz Yisrael. They're getting ready to march. They have their designation. They have their encampments. We're told about the chatzotzot. They're going to light the menorah. You're ready to go. And then you come up to two psukim. Vayhi bin soha Aaron vayomer Moshe. Right at the perek yod. Kumu Hashem v'yafutzu ayvecha v'yanusu misanecha b'panecha. Moshe would say, arise, O holy ark, and scatter your enemies from before you. So I was just reading. I forgot where. Could have been of Salvechik in the New Chumash, but that pasuk was supposed to be the beginning of Moshe's battle against the enemies in where? Where's he going to battle the enemies? Eretz Canaan. Kumu Hashem v'yafutzu ayvecha. When we get to the borders of Canaan, cause your enemies to scatter. And v'yanuchu yomar, and when the war is over and the iron comes to rest, Shuvah Hashem revavos alfa Yisrael. Hashem returned to the myriads and thousands of Israel. So before the war, Moshe would say the enemy should scatter. After the war, Moshe would say, come back Hashem, the iron should rest. Except that what happened? Did Moshe ever lead the battles in Canaan? Jewish history, if you pay attention, there's two inverted nuns, upside down Hebrew letter nuns around these psukim. It's right at the end of Perek Yud. Right after that, we come to Perek Yud Aleph. Vayihi ha'am kimisona nimra ba'aznei Hashem, vayishma Hashem, vativar ba'meish. The people start complaining with pretext. Why? Why are the nuns inverted? Because Jewish destiny, says of Salvechik, was inverted. Jewish history was inverted. The triumphant march came to a halt. With the beginning of the pretext and the complaints of the people came to a halt. Had Moshe entered Eretz Yisrael, he would have built the base of Bechira, he would have conquered the land, he would have been the Mashiach, says Chazal, and it would never have been destroyed. So what happened? That's not what happened. So here we are. So Shlomo HaMelech is finally tasked with building the Beis Hashem. So what could Shlomo say? I built the Beis Hashem. So what does David HaMelech's father tell him? Im Hashem lo yivna bayis, you should know that if Hashem does not build a house, shav amlu vonav bo. Those who toil to build are toiling in vain. And if Hashem does not guard the city, those who, the watchmen who stand up, are guarding in vain. And Rav Shem Sharif Al Hirsch, beautiful commentary. Does anyone have Rav Shem Sharif Al Hirsch on Tehillim? It's very, very nice. I think it's also from the Sfarim Sa, actually, last year. So Rav Shem Sharif, does anyone go to Sfarim Sa? What?
Yes, I go.
Well, you work there, right?
I'll get you a discount next year.
Highly recommend. Before I used to go, people would recommend, like,
Well, you
once you go, you
now.
Cannot go. What?
You can do it online. They it's also the have.
But it's not the same. What did you say?
It's not the same.
It's amazing. Okay, so Rav Shem Sharif Al Hirsch says, if Hashem does not advance and protect the endeavor of man, if Hashem does not advance and protect our endeavors, then all of their labor is in vain, whether it be for the founding and preservation of a single home or for the protection and security of an entire city. If Hashem is not guarding a single home, and if He is not furthering the endeavors and protecting an entire city, Shav Amlu Bone of Bone. Men can do no more than their share. That means we think we can do it all. All they can do is pave the way to the goal. But as much as they throw all their energies into the endeavor, they cannot with certainty ensure their own success. It's very profound. So often we undertake projects, and we're so determined to see it come to completion. You know, I think it's relevant in all aspects of our life. We're not only talking about building homes, but I thought of a nice metaphor for this, building homes in terms of shidduchim. Shidduchim are building homes. So a person can strive and strive, but it only happens when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the master builder, when the Almighty says, this is the right time, I will build the house, says the Ribbono Shel Olam, then that's when it will happen. And it takes a tremendous amount of munah for us in all aspects of life, for us to internalize this and for us to live with this and to know that we are only the pawn in the hands of Hashem. Don't bring up Bechir versus Yidia. When I said that, I know I'm going into dangerous territory. Everyone has to do maximum hishtadlus in all areas of life, whatever you're building. But with the awareness that, though we may throw all our energies into an endeavor, we cannot with certainty ensure success. Yes?
I think it's also very relevant to childbearing. You put all your kokos in, but there's no...
So you must know this kapitel of Tehillim. Did you hear what I said? You must know the kapitel of Tehillim. Because you know what comes next.
I think you do.
Pasuk Gimel. Hinei nachlas Hashem banim. Children are the inheritance of God. Schar pri habratan. The fruit of the womb is a reward. David HaMelech goes from talking about building a home to building children. So it's exactly true what you said. But the gap between building home and children is what I said, is the shidduch. There is a stage between those two. But in the mindset, it's true of anything in life. Going back to the silly example, it's really not silly, of waiting in the doctor's office. The Maisa, for some reason, Hashem did not want me to see the doctor that day. Clearly, I was not meant to see the doctor. So why was I so frustrated? I'm talking to myself. Why was I so aggravated about it? I was not meant for my child to see the doctor that day.
Because it was out of your control. That's why. Because it was, you know, we're all busy, we're all structured in our time, and that was throwing your day off. That
first
was
all it was.
It was throwing it off.
It's very interesting what you're saying, because very nice, Nancy, because sometimes we have an illusion that we are in control. It's very nice what you just said. Our whole day is structured. We all have things to do. This is the time slot for work. This is the time slot for dinner. This is the time for laundry, whatever it is. And then what are you doing? The whole thing gets thrown off. Do you say, oh, this is what Hashem wants me? Or do you say, it's out of my control and therefore I'm so frustrated because you want to feel in control. Very nice. Very true. Okay, so I'm taking your musar. An ordinary person, says Rav Shem Sharif Al Hirsch, we're still on Kapitel Kuf Chaf Zayin. So it's really one of the Kapitel I say every day because everyone needs, I need, the daily reminder that Shav Amlu Bona Bo. I could strive and I could build and I could put in the hammer and the nails and the screws and the lever and I have all my instruments and implementation. The house is only going up if the Ribbono Shel Olam wants it to go up. An ordinary, and I don't only mean house, it touches upon everything in life. An ordinary person, once he becomes aware of the inadequacy of all human endeavor, oh, listen. I don't know if you're like me, but please listen. You have to hear what he says next. Oh, because the pasuk says, Shav lachem meshkimeikum. It is in vain for you that rise early, me'acharei shaves, who got to sleep late. So in other words, what are you trying to do? Wake up as early as possible, go to sleep as late as possible, so you could get as much as possible into your day. Like you said, we have a schedule. Ochlei lachem ha'atzavim. You eat bread of sadness. You eat bread of weary. What do you think it's not going to get done if you get an extra hour of sleep? Ki tein lididio shena. Hashem gives his friends, his beloved sleep. So what is Rav Shem Shavuot saying based on David HaMelech? You could work from today till tomorrow. You could work for 24 hours a day. Hashem will give his beloved sleep, meaning you can go to sleep because working all those extra hours is not going to change Hashem's outcome. Rav Shem Zalman Arbach Zatzal is brought down in the beautiful biography from Jerusalem. His word was very mapped. When it was time for sleep, I don't know if he really went to sleep, but he would say to those in the household, now the day is over. It's time to retire. We will continue tomorrow. And when I can't sleep, does anyone else ever not able to sleep? Sometimes. I can't. So you could also say I should just have Amuna. But you know what I think of? My friend, actually Sharon Freeman, told me this very many years ago. She heard a word about Avram Avinu. Three times it says Vayashkim Avram Baboker. And Avram woke up early in the morning. But it's three times that was hard times in his life. You wouldn't expect him to wake up early in the morning. One time he was sending away Hagar and his son Yishmael. He'd send away his own wife and child. Another time was when he woke up. He prayed for Sodom and Gomorrah to be destroyed. Perikir Tes into Perichof. No, Perikir Tes of Bereishis. And then he wakes up and it's destroyed. But he woke up early in the morning. And the third time is the ultimate test. When was that? By Akedah Yitzchak, the beginning of Perachav Beis, Hashem says, slaughter your son, and he wakes up early in the morning. So Sharon Freeman told me a great verse. It goes back years ago, but I think of it all the time, especially on the nights when I can't sleep because I'm nervous. Vayashkim Avram Baboker means Avram was sleeping the night before. If he woke up early, it means he was sleeping. What's the godless of that? If God appears to you and gives you the nisayon of your life. So it's hard to go to sleep for me. It's very hard. Why are you laughing? You could say.
No, it's true.
Oh, so Sharon Friedman said, it's a tremendous fart. The fact that it says Vayash game means he was sleeping. What does it prove that he was sleeping? What a Baal Amuna, a master of faith he was, that he had no questions, he had no doubts, he had no qualms, even though I'm in such a turbulent time. Of course, we're speaking to all of us. Was Avraham Avinu really sleeping the night before? I don't know. But we learn from the, I'm not saying in a bad way, I'm saying I don't know his sleep schedule, but the fact that the Torah uses this term at such difficult moments of his life indicates how much faith he had. And when she told it to me, she related to me that they said a couple of things over Moshe Feinstein that besides the fact that he was a Baki in Torah and a Posei Kadar, that indicates godless. One is he never fell asleep while he was learning. And two is he was always able to sleep at night. Show such a high madriga of faith not to be nervous. Believe me, I'm talking to myself. And this is exactly what David HaMelech is talking to all of us. And this is exactly what David HaMelech says. An ordinary person, once he becomes aware of the inadequacy of all human endeavor, I think you're right, Nancy, it makes me realize that waiting for an hour and 5 minutes and not seeing the doctor makes you realize how inadequate all human endeavor ultimately is, will worry without cease. I'm quoting Rav Hirsch. Ready? He will be driven to overtax his energies. He will lose rest and sleep. At least I feel validated. I don't feel like, you know, I landed from the moon and everyone else is going to sleep and I can't sleep. He will be unable to enjoy the very bread he eats. He will be so consumed with worry that he can't even sleep. It is through the same knowledge of the inadequacy of human effort, however, that one who is aware of God's love and friendship will acquire the serenity which will enable him to sleep in peace. I need to plaster this. I'm talking to Michal. I need to plaster this next to my bed. Will acquire the serenity. Your feeling of inadequacy for someone who's lacking will make you not sleep from worry because you think the more you exert yourself, I'm going to wake up early. Shav lachem mashkim ekum, says David HaMelech to son Shlomo. It's in vain that you wake up so early. Ma'acharei Shabbos, you stay up so late. Ochel lachem atzavim, you can't even enjoy your bread. You're so worried. You're so sad. You can't even enjoy. Sometimes a person is so worried that what happens? They can't even eat. During the Gulf War, we were in Israel during the Gulf War. talking about art. So it was 1990-1991 school year, and I was in ninth grade in Tzvia, which is an Israeli school in Yerushalayim, right near the Gan HaChayot HaTanachi, the biblical zoo or whatever it's called. I don't know if that's what it's called, yeah. So it was the year of the Gulf War. So, you know, the Canadian kid, the gas mask, it was some experience. We were off of school, whatever. So my mother said during the war, she lost weight. Because why? Because a person becomes so nervous that it's hard to eat. And that's exactly what the psalmist, what David HaMelech is telling us. At a certain point, you become so nervous, as Rav Shem Shemfal, you lose rest and sleep, you'll be unable to enjoy the very bread he eats. But if your inadequacy is coupled with knowing that Hashem is your Yedid, Kain Yitin L'Yedido Shena. What is David HaMelech teaching us? Sleep. It really relates to unbelievably Geshmak, the Sharon Friedman's word about Vayashkim Avram Babokra. Hashem will give his beloved sleep. It's a sign of tranquility and peace. And in fact, the Rambam writes, Maimonides writes, that if a person goes to sleep in mind, that this he's resting so he could serve Hashem tomorrow to Vodas Hashem. Because if you don't have sleep, the way Hashem made your body, one of the forms of torture for prisoners, Rechman HaTzlan, is not letting them sleep. So if you have a mind, they're sleeping to serve Hashem. So I tell myself all these things. I can't say it always works. I still can't sleep. So there's a disconnect. But Shem Shem Falher says, he knows, even if he were to wear out all of his energies, even if he were not allowed himself rest or sleep. I love that he's talking about this, because like this was written 200 years ago in Germany, but, well, I'm not talking about the Kapitel of Tehillim, I'm talking about Rav Hirsch's commentary. He's talking to me. Even if he were not to allow himself rest or sleep, he would still be unable to achieve anything in the end without the aid of God. So he's saying exactly what he said. You could stand for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, worrying about Sodom and Amor. You daven now, don't go to sleep. Hashem told you, Sarah told you, send away Hagar. Hashem says, listen to you, you could stay up all night. What's it going to help? Only the plan that Hashem wants. I hope I can remember this tonight. I'm not saying I never sleep, chas v'sham, but there are certain times that I feel more anxious. I don't sleep. And I even tell myself, what does it help me? It's not going to help me tomorrow. He knows God is the friend of those who are engaged in honest endeavor. It calls Hashem Yedid. Okay? It's a term for a beloved. 1 second. God knows their worries and shares them. Hashleich al Hashem Yehavecha. Cast your burden onto the Ribbono Shel Olam. Tell him when you can't sleep what the problem is. All he asks is man honestly do his part. So by the way, we're not saying don't do any ishtaglus. You have to do your part. But Hashem will crown with the success the labor. Knowing this man is described as doing his honest share of work. Then he moves on to children, because Pasuk Gimel is about children. So I'm just going to read one paragraph since you brought it up. Children of youth are like arrows in the hands of a mighty man. Children of youth are like arrows in the hands of a mighty man. Are you with me? Have questions or comments? You know what I'm talking about? I'm not going to read you the whole thing. One second. It talks about being patient and calm. Okay. As arrows in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of one's youth, is the paragraph I wanted to read you. Young parents will be successful in guiding their children resolutely to the one true goal for which God has entrusted them with these young souls. Just like the arrow in the hands of a sharpshooter meets its mark, so too the children raised by parents of youthful vigor will remain true to the direction and the goal and the path sent to them by their father or mother, even long after they will have matured and left their parents' guidance. They were talking about, it's true, I said, about building, it's waiting in the office, taking a test, anything, baking a cake, anything that you're working at. Shidduch, child rearing, from the small things to the big things, that only works if the Ribbono Shel Olam wants it to work. And Mamish, David Melech is telling us, this is your son Shlomo. First of all, you were the one chosen to build the Beis HaMikdash. Even Moshe was not given the opportunity. He would have been Melech HaMashiach. But you should know, Im Hashem lo yivna bayishav amlu bon of bo. It's only if Hashem wants it, and don't lose sleep over it. Enjoy your lachem. Don't make it lachem ha'atzavim. It's unbelievable how it touches upon such relevant situations that continue to affect us. And it's obviously a reflection of Amunah. Avraham Avinu was such a Baal Amunah. Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal never had problems sleeping. I mean, of all the Ta'arim, of all the crowns we could give him, we wouldn't think that that's the one. But look at the Amunah that represents. represents something unbelievable. Okay, any questions or comments? Okay, this is the first principle. Second to last paragraph on page 58. This is the first principle. I was not always here. I was created. And if I was passively created, must have been an active creator. The question is, who is the creator? So Hani Machlis would say, Allah Hashalom, Hani Machlis would say, the Baal Shem Tov says, if I daven today the way I davened yesterday, I didn't daven. Because Hashem sends me every day a new challenge, a new awareness of who I am. If your tefillah, if your prayer today was like your prayer yesterday, then it's not considered prayer. For example, let's say yesterday I didn't realize I have a temper, or I'm jealous, or I'm dishonest. I think it's an interesting statement from one day to the next, but okay, you didn't realize. But when I yelled at someone today, or I said something dishonest, Hashem made me realize who I am. Sometimes you have a moment of self-awareness. We tend to think, I'm holy, everyone else has faults. Know who you are. Don't run away from your imperfections. Be honest with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Be honest with yourself. Know who you are, and Hashem can help you. She says, that's the reason we have faults, so we can connect to Hashem. Hashem, if you don't... Then she says, listen to this. I'm just quoting page 431. Tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, if you don't close my mouth, I'm going to eat everything in the house. That's what she says. So what's interesting is that David HaMelech speaks about enjoying your bread, not from a place of sadness and despair, but just enjoy it. If Hashem, if you don't close my mouth, I'm going to talk Lashon Hara about every single person I know, which relates to this expression, Miriam speaking Lashon Hara. Hashem, if you don't help me to not be jealous, I'm going to be jealous of every single person in the world. So she's saying, first you need a self-awareness, then you need to know who made you like this, and then you need to know who to turn to help you rid yourself of these spiritual imperfections. You look like you want to say something.
I wonder if anybody has had the reaction, and I haven't read this book yet, but it's on my...
to-do list.
It's on my Amazon list. Does she, like, what she says makes me want to cry because she's so profound.
The whole book makes you want to cry.
Does it really?
She's just very profound.
She's very profound.
Did anyone else read it? Did you cry? You're in the middle.
Loved it.
What?
Loved it. I read it.
When I finished the book, I was crying.
I was reading it on Yantif.
Say it. You were reading
it
on Yantif.
I was reading it over Pesach at the end of it. And I was crying. My son took it away from me. Not allowed to read it on Yantif.
See? What you're saying is correct. Because it's so profound. And her amuna was on such a high mandrega. It was just the things that we're striving for. She internalized it. Trust me, she would never go to the doctor and be aggravated about seeing a different environment. It's like it was just not shayach. It was not part of her life. It wasn't who she was. She was the vayashkim of her own baboker person. It's a very high level. But she said, if you have a problem, so say Hashem, if you don't close my mouth, I'm going to eat everything in the house. If you don't close my mouth, I'm going to talk Lashon Hara about everybody. If you don't help me to not be jealous, I'm going to be jealous about everyone in the world. Yeah.
Was she the one who also said about Korach? That
yes.
Korach,
it's coming up in Parshas Korach or in Parshas Korach very soon. I think I'm going to base Parshas Shir that week on that whole teaching. Bli Neder. I have no idea what I'm doing yet, but that's what I think. The Hani Machlis is one who says, so unbelievable. Korach was not punished because he was Korach. He was punished because he didn't ask Hashem for help to change. It's so profound. We all are who we are. I can't change the way I was born, but I can say to Hashem, I would like to do tikkun amidos. I want to work on myself, but you made me this way, so help me change. You have to get to a place where you realize you're dependent on Kosh Baruch Hu for ruchnius and for gashmius. I can't breathe if Hashem doesn't give me breath. I can't work on being better if Hashem doesn't help me. Quote, I have to know I'm nothing and He's everything. And I shouldn't say I do chesed, I have children, talking about schar priya baten. I'm smart, I teach. No, Hashem teaches, Hashem is children, Hashem is everything, Hashem does everything else. Okay, a couple more minutes. Avraham Avinu lived with this question for a very long time. The question of who's the creator. The Rambam speaks about this. The Rambam says in his biography of Avraham Avinu, in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, the laws related to idol worship, that Avraham Avinu looked at the heavenly sphere. And he looked to the heavens and he saw these round planets and he said, who created this? is a possible set of Avraham Avinu that this is here and no one created it? We have no doubt there is an omnipotent creator, and in fact, it is not worthwhile to spend a lot of time analyzing that fact. Few people have minds great enough to grasp that speculation. We can't grasp what Kosh Baruch Hu means. It's not possible. So don't even try. Don't spend too much time for us on our level. But the basic fact that we often know there is a creator, and this has to be clarified and repeated tens and hundreds of times without rushing to proceed further. So I think I failed my Nisayon Monday now. I think Hashem, especially going through this class even more, and reading that paragraph, the basic fact is there is a creator. And you have to clarify it and repeat that tens of hundreds of times. But I've been sitting here for 2.5 years going through the Sefer of Emunah. So why was I so frustrated? Because I failed. I'm Amish failed. So Avichik says, Chait does not mean sin. This is what the Rav says. Chait means failure. Chatasi, he says. Chatasi does not mean I sin. Chatasi means I failed. Because Lamaisa, what is it when Hashem puts you in a sin and you end up doing a chait? You failed the test. That's what you failed. Yes.
I think it's compared to like, there's a certain shoresh. I don't remember the exact connection, but it's a bow and arrow. And it's like, it's an arrow that misses its target. I think that's what a chait is.
It's an arrow that...
An arrow that misses its target. So like, I don't remember the exact, it has to do with the shoresh itself also, but I guess the fact that we're trying, but just veered the wrong way.
Very nice. You failed to miss the target.
Yeah. No, right. Failure is missing.
If you didn't do it properly, correct. Then you missed the target.
So it's more like a mistake is the right word, but yeah, a missed target.
So I'm telling you, I think in hindsight, and only sitting in this class and going through the past 40 minutes and the sources that we're quoting and the chizuk from all of you and the musar, I realized that I failed my nisayon. Obviously, the purpose of me going to that office was not for my child to see the doctor. Boy, it was for me to have a nisayon. So chatasi means I failed. Because clearly I forgot that there's a creator. I forgot to repeat it tens and hundreds of times. Who put me here? Who created everything? A person should work with the simple issue. So I just want to say one thing. The Rambam says, I'm going to make a little joke, but it's not really a joke. The Rambam says, true tshuva is when you're in the same situation and you don't sin again. Like, it's very nice for a man to say, I will never be with that woman again. But the Rambam says, when he is actually in proximity with that woman and then he does not sin, that's real tshuva. So I hope Hashem will give me a chance to do teshuva, but I hope I'm not in this situation again. A person should work with a simple issue and say to himself, top page 59, just finish up. Could I have been made without a maker? Is it possible yesterday I didn't exist, today I exist automatically? Now that I exist, who put me into this world? A person must take these questions and repeat them again and again. Am I certain or not? Do you trust someone who's a butcher, who's a shochet al pi halacha, and then not trust him with your money? Is there a disconnect between the different parts of yourself? Do I entertain the possibility that everything happened by yourself, or that ultimately Hashem is running the show? A person must talk to themselves for days, weeks, I'm going to clarify that, years, your entire life. Realize the simple truth. In the depth of my heart, there is a master. If I was created, there must be a creator. You must attain, let's just finish the section. You must attain intellectual awareness. Everyone knows, but more than that, it has to be absolutely clear. So we could imagine that the Hamon Am would become very upset if the matzahs got broken. But someone who knows and lives with the fact that there's an absolute creator will say, okay, Hashem wanted the maid to give the matzah to the child. So we should be zocher that this week, maybe not you, but me, you also, I'm sure, non-condescending, just the rehajo, that we should be zocher that when Hashem puts us in nisyonos, we should recognize them for what they are and have the clarity and realism to realize we can sleep. It's all up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ultimately the ratzon and the koach to pass those nisyonos. Amen, amen. I'm just talking to myself. Thank you, ladies. Shabbat matzliach week. Be matzliach.